What the Cluck, Session 63. Today we're going to talk about keeping your chickens' water from freezing during winter, guys. Hi there and welcome to this session of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Maya from Frugal Chicken, and in this episode, we're going to cover how to keep your chickens' water from freezing in winter, and we're also going to talk about reasons and ways to keep them hydrated. Because in winter, that is a particular issue. So stay with me. Now, before we get started, this episode is sponsored by Manaprobe Poultry, and I've partnered with Manaprobe because I believe that their poultry products are the best on the market. Now, winter is coming, which means that we all have to be concerned about whether our chickens are staying healthy over the winter, which does include having a great feed regimen. Now, Manaprobe has a full array of non-GMO organic chicken feed for every stage of your chicken's life. So the time when she is an itty-bitty chick to the time when she is a full-grown gorgeous layer, Manaprobe has a feed designed to perfectly meet her nutritional requirements. So the next time that you're in the feed store, or maybe you're new to chickens and you're not quite sure what to get to make sure that your hens have the healthiest lives possible, definitely go ahead and grab a bag of Manaprobe's non-GMO organic pellets or their chick starter crumbles depending on what stage of the life your hens are at, and you can be sure that your chickens are getting the best nutrition possible. You can go ahead and visit Manaprobe on their website at www.manaprobe.com. All right, so let's get on with our episode, which is all about how to keep your chickens' water from freezing during the winter. And, you know, guys, I have to say it is, what, November 6th when I am recording this. It's going to be almost November 7th when I'm recording this. And it was actually like 75 and 80 degrees today here on our farm. So water freezing has not been such a big concern of ours at this moment. In fact, we're fighting the flies and the gnats more than anything else. And it's making me bananas because I have livestock that I would like to castrate, and I cannot do that until the flies and the gnats die down for sanitary reasons, obviously, and the vet keeps asking us to push the dates back. But I know many of you out there, in the United States at least, are dealing with cold weather. And I'm getting more and more comments in the blog about how to keep your chickens healthy and whether or not you should use heat lamps over winter and all that sort of fun stuff. So I know that it is something that is on your mind. And definitely when it comes to winter, keeping your chickens hydrated is really important. I mean, it's important any time of the year, but a lot of people kind of don't realize, especially if you're brand new to chickens or to, you know, livestock in general, that winter is actually a very easy time for your animals to become dehydrated. And the reason for that is because, let's face it, it's cold and they don't want to drink cold water. The water gets cold unless you're using an external heater or, you know, a water heater, an electric heater, let's go with that. The water is going to be cold. So animals tend to not want to drink as much. And it gets dry because, let's face it, winter is dry. It's not a very humid time of year. And it's very easy for them to become dehydrated. Now, they're not likely to become deathly dehydrated, but obviously any level of dehydration is bad. So that's why it makes sense to pay particular attention to the amount of water that they're drinking in winter. Now, very quickly, let's talk about automatic waterers. I'm a big fan of automatic waterers. On the blog, there is an article about how to make one in your own home or in your backyard, I suppose. But you can make it yourself for about $12. And I'm a fan of those, you know, ones that you can buy online as well. There's nothing wrong with those. The thing to remember about automatic waterers, though, is that if they require a lot of lines, and the article, the one that you can build that has the article on the blog, that one doesn't require any lines. It's just using simple physics. But if you buy one and it has a lot of water lines in it, or it has the water nipples, then you know you might run into some trouble because it's going to freeze. And especially if you use the nipples that are metal, those are very, very likely to freeze. So, you know, bear in mind that that could be an issue if you're using an automatic waterer that you've purchased, you know, a commercial one. And you might want to provide more than one way for them to get water. A good example is, you know, if you are using an automatic waterer and you're a little bit concerned, also offer them a bucket of water or a shallow dish of water and just make sure you fill it once or twice a day, because it's very easy for those lines to get clogged and then your chickens don't get any water. And, you know, as we've established, that's obviously a bad thing. Another thing to remember is make sure that you have more than one waterer in there. And this goes for whether you're using an automatic waterer or not, because again, during winter, especially when chickens are cooped up, everybody's in the coop and they're all kind of getting stir crazy because they all want to go outside, but they can't because it's snowing or freezing rain or whatever. It's very easy for chickens lower in the pecking order to not get as much water as they probably should. So my recommendation is, you know, if you have five hens, go with two ways for them to get water, whether you're using a waterer or a bowl or whatever. And then after that, go with two dishes for every 3 to 5 hens. You know, two ways to get water for every 3 to 5 hens. That's usually what I do. It just makes things simpler. You don't have to stress out. Now, the ideas we're going to talk about in this podcast are if you're off-grid or your coop is off-grid or you don't have a way to get electricity out to your coop. But very quickly, let's just talk about water heaters. I don't personally use them, and that's because my coops are off-grid, but I don't have anything against them. If you have electricity that you can run out to your coop, if you have a extension cord you can run out there, by all means, use a water heater. Just make sure that you consistently make sure that the water line is above the heater so that it doesn't cause a fire. Otherwise, go ahead and use it. I can't think of many reasons why you wouldn't want to do that. Frozen water is obviously a very big issue in the winter. It's something that we battle here every winter. And because we have large livestock, we have pigs, goats, you know, the whole shebang, we are dealing with a lot of frozen water buckets. So if you can use an electric water heater, it's probably what I'm going to try and do this winter. I'm not sure if I can. It's going to depend on, you know, where we end up placing our coops. We're rebuilding some of our coops. But if I can, I'm going to use it. You know, so if you do have the opportunity, go ahead and do that. But what we're going to talk about in this podcast is if you don't have the ability to use an electric heater. Because again, like I just said, you know, you're going to have to battle, you know, water. And freezing water a lot, and it's sort of a big pain in the butt. So anything that you can do to combat it is, you know, a really good idea. The first thing we're going to talk about is, you know, using a really big black water tub. And I have a lot of experience with this because of our horses. The deeper the water tub, the more likely it's going to not freeze because it's a bigger mass of water that's going to have to freeze. All right. Now, again, in our area, we don't really get that, you know, cold temperatures. In the dead of winter, like January and February, it might get down to 10 degrees at night. Most days, you know, it's going to be above freezing when, you know, around noontime. When I wake up, it might be below freezing, but around noontime, it's usually, you know, pretty above freezing. Let's just go with that. So using a deeper water tub is a good idea. Now, bear in mind, though, that you're going to have to, we use 40-gallon tubs for our livestock. Or 25-gallon tubs also. The 40-gallon ones don't freeze as easily. Or if they do freeze, there's ice on top and it's easy to crush. With chickens, you know, you're going to have to bear in mind that, you know, if you want to use one that big, you're going to have to keep it full all the time. And the reason why is your chickens are going to, otherwise, let's say it gets down halfway or, you know, there's only a quarter, you know, 2 or 3 inches of water in there. Your chickens are probably going to get wet and that's a really bad thing. So if you're going to use a tub that large, by all means, go ahead and do it. It's less likely to freeze. However, just make sure that you're keeping it full all the time. And I'm speaking from experience here. Now, if you're going to use something shallower, you're probably going to have to fill it up more often or break ice or something. But, you know, using a larger water tub that's black, and black in particular because the sun will obviously heat it up and it will retain some of that heat, and it's a lot less likely to freeze. So that's the first thing you can do. You can just make sure that you use a bigger water tub. And again, that's not going to always resolve everything, but it's a very sort of basic thing that you can do from the get-go. Go out and buy a black water tub from the feed store and just try it out. Now, the bottom line with this, though, is just make sure that it's like rubber or plastic. If it's metal, it's going to freeze, and it's going to freeze a lot, you know, faster and a lot harder than if you're using something like plastic or rubber. And obviously the reason for that is that metal conducts cold a lot easier than heat than plastic or rubber. Rubber, you know, it tends to do a little bit better than plastic, but plastic also works well. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, the rubber dishes, they tend to be a little bit more expensive. So if you're on a budget, plastic is the way to go. But again, just make sure that it's a darker color. And I see some out there in the feed store, you know, they're like a lighter blue color or maybe yellow or pink. Go with the darkest color that you can find. So a black, a dark green, a maroon, you know, whatever you can find, that's the color to go with. Now, something that a number of people have left on the blog, and if you're not aware of it, I do actually have an article on the blog that covers how to keep your chickens' water from freezing in the winter. But I did want to address it in a podcast as well. But the comments that a lot of people have left on the blog are that they've been able to keep the water unfrozen in their chickens' water tubs by putting a water bottle full of salt water in there. And there's something about it that, you know, obviously, you know, salt water doesn't freeze very easily. It helps keep the fresh water in the tub unfrozen. And this is actually something, if we don't end up using water heaters, this is something I'm going to try because I'm very curious to see if it works. You're going to need a very dense salt water solution. So probably what you're looking at is, you know, if you're using what, just a basic bottle of water that you could buy at the store that size, I would probably put, you know, what, 4 or 5 tablespoons of water in there, start off with that and see what happens. I would personally use something like a bigger salt, like a kosher salt or you know, something like that over like table salt, because the bigger the chunks of salt, the less likely it is to dissolve and all that sort of stuff. Again, I have not tested this out. I'm planning to test it out this winter. That's just the way that I would personally go. If anybody has an idea of, you know, a different way to do it, definitely go ahead and share it with me. But this is something that people have mentioned on the blog a lot that they have, you know, successfully used over winter. And it makes sense because if you look, you know, the oceans don't freeze the same way that, you know, fresh water does. If you're going to go this route, definitely make sure that you use like a water bottle or something that's sealed very, very tightly. You definitely do not want to be feeding your chickens salt water. That's very, very bad. It could throw off their electrolyte balance and then they're going to be more and more thirsty. They might get dehydrated. Definitely make sure that you put the salt water in a bottle. So maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but I'm really into history and traveling. And back in antiquity, you know, in Istanbul, which was then Constantinople, as you know, it's wedged between the Mediterranean and the Black Sea. Well, back during, you know, the days of antiquity, this was long before they had built their cisterns. It was a big deal because, you know, their population was soaring, but they didn't have enough water for everyone to drink because, you know, it's a dry area. So, you know, they're wedged between the Black Sea and the Mediterranean there. So they had all the salt water around them, but they couldn't, you know, nobody had access to fresh water. And that's why they built their cisterns was, you know, to provide water to the growing population. So this is just kind of an example of, you know, why giving salt water is a bad thing. When we all know it's a bad thing, but I, you know, any chance I get to talk about history, I'm happy. But basically, you could put your chickens in a situation that, you know, the people of Constantinople were in where, you know, they have all this salt water around them, but they don't have anything fresh to drink and, you know, people are dying. So, you know, you just want to make sure that you don't give your chickens any salt water. Just, you know, so put it in a bottle, make sure the bottle's screwed up really tight, put it in their, you know, fresh water bowl, and let's see if that works. That's going to be very, very interesting to test, right? Now, something that I see suggested online a lot for, you know, keeping water unfrozen in winter are ping pong balls. And the reason why ping pong balls is because they're light and they float. So they'll float on the surface of the water. And then as, you know, the wind blows, it keeps, you know, the ping pong balls oscillate up and down. And that keeps the water from freezing because the electrons in it are constantly being agitated. Now, you know, I've not really had much success with this because it's sort of dependent on the ping pong balls, you know, oscillating. It's dependent on there being wind. And then if the water level goes down low enough, it's not going to do anything because the ping pong balls have to float. Some people have had success with it. I've not personally had success with it, but you can go ahead and try it. You know, if you have ping pong balls, try saying that 5 times fast. If you have ping pong balls, you know, floating around your house, they're probably like $1 at the dollar store. Give it a try. I mean, it might work. And, you know, it certainly worked for some people out there, just not me. And, you know, it certainly isn't the worst, you know, idea in the world. All things being equal, if, you know, because I know you guys are going to ask, people always ask me what I would do. They always want to know how specifically I, you know, help my chickens in certain situations. I'm personally going to try the salt water, and then if that doesn't work, you know, pretty much every day, I'm home all the time. I don't really leave my house, and I don't have a reason really to leave my house. So I personally go out every few hours and just add water to their, you know, water bowl. Like, let's say it's frozen. I bring the frozen one in the house, and I bring them a fresh water bowl that has, you know, unfrozen water in it. That's pretty much what I do, but the ping pong balls might work well for you. Now, something else that could work is if you have ducks, as we all know, if you own ducks, you know exactly what I'm going to say. Ducks like to play in water. I'm not very comfortable with my ducks playing in water in the winter. I always give them water, and we obviously use the deeper dishes. So they're going to play in the water anyways, no matter what you do, no matter how cold it is, ducks are going to play in water. And, you know, because they play in the water, you know, again, it keeps the water moving and it's less likely to freeze that way. Obviously, this is dependent on two things. One, that you have ducks. If you don't, you sort of, you know, SOL. And you know, it also depends on your ducks consistently playing in the water, which is not likely to happen. Mine only play in the water when it's fresh water. If it's, you know, been sitting around for a few hours, it's not as interesting. They get very, very excited after I fill up the water dishes. But again, ducks are, you know, one way to approach the problem. And, you know, if you have ducks, give it a try. Now, the next thing that we're going to talk about, and I've had a lot of success with this, and this is actually pretty, pretty interesting. What has worked very well for us last winter, worked very well for us last winter, is actually using those hand warmers that you get at the dollar store, the kind that you open up the package and then you have to use them right away. Those worked really, really well in our quail hutches last winter. And what we did actually is, this is the one time that we used metal waterers, because again, just like metal conducts cold very, very well, it also conducts heat very well. That actually, we tested it in our greenhouses, and at the time the greenhouses were below freezing because it was like February. Those hand warmers actually worked well enough to keep the water temperature above freezing, and so our quail constantly had access to unfrozen water. So interestingly enough, those worked very, very well. And what we did is we got the ones that had like the sticky stuff in the back. So we used one of those mason jar waterers with it. And we stuck the hand warmer to the bottom of the mason jar waterer, to the metal part, actually. I didn't think it was going to work. It was mostly just an experiment. But that worked really, really well. And you can get those hand warmers for like a dollar at the dollar store. Or maybe you can buy, you know, 10 for $5 at Walmart. Those actually did the trick. And having thought about it, I'll probably do it with my quail again this year. If you have chicks or something like that, you know, young chickens where you're using a metal container, you have obviously a bigger container, you're going to have to use more than one hand warmer. But for the mason jar waterers, we only had to use one hand warmer. And then it worked for like 3 days before we had to switch it out. So that is one possibility that, you know, if you have smaller poultry, that would work. If you don't mind, you know, using more than one at a time, that would work with your chickens too. But again, in this specific situation, in most situations, I don't recommend metal containers. In this one, I do recommend metal waterers because I think that was key to it working properly. But yeah, hand warmers worked incredibly well. Now, the final way we'll talk about keeping your chicken's water from freezing over winter is using hot water. Now, I every year get somebody, I get more than one person on the blog who goes, this doesn't work because hot water freezes faster than cold water. Guys, I know this, okay? The reason why hot water is key to this, though, is for two reasons. One, it will melt any frozen water. And two, and I'm banking on over 10 years of livestock experience here, animals in the winter